Welcome to the Chaotic Neutral Podcast.
Hello and welcome, everyone, back to another episode of the Chaotic Neutral Podcast. I am your host, Raina Parks, as usual, and I am here on this fine Tuesday to talk at your ears, and you're going to listen to the sound of my voice for the next undisclosed amount of time. If you don't know what the drill is by now, then I'm sorry. But today is going to be focused on music festivals and concerts. So I just recently got tickets to Bonnaroo, and that kind of inspired me to do a widely requested episode all about going to music festivals, surviving music festivals, going to concerts, etc. So I guess this is going to be the Chaotic Neutral How-To Guide Concerts and Music Festival Edition. So, buckle your seatbelts, because you're about to get educated. Alright, so, I am a massive planner. I have to plan everything in my life. It's neurotic, and my friends and family wish I didn't have to do it all the time, but I do, and I have no option. So I'm going to share with you how I plan all of my fun weekend activities that include concerts, all right? So before you can go to any concert, you need tickets. I'm going to be real with you. I can't remember the last time I went to a concert and I didn't buy my ticket resale. I think it might have been like a small band. I think it was when I saw Bastille in like December. And that was because it was a ton of tickets, so it didn't really sell out. But anyway, I definitely don't ever buy tickets the day they go on sale, just because it just so happens every time there's a concert I want to go to and they release tickets, I have either $4 in my account or I don't get the early access code to get said tickets. Or if I have both money and the code, I, for some reason, can't get the freaking tickets. Anyway, moral of the story, I have terrible luck getting tickets the day they go on sale. So I get 98% of my tickets resale. And that means someone had tickets to the concert, can't go anymore, and they sell them to me in one way or another. Now, there are a couple sites that you can do. You can get verified resale tickets from. I use StubHub and SeatGeek. Now, StubHub, I have had the generally better experience with StubHub. However, their fees are insane. There is nothing I hate more than freaking ticket fees. StubHub's fee, for Bonnaroo, the fees were $80. That's, and I guess, you know, I could figure that in to my ticket price, but my brain knows that those fees aren't actually going to, help me get into that festival, so I hate it, but StubHub's fees are pretty steep, but such is life. So, I've used SeatGeek before. SeatGeek tends to be cheaper. However, I have been scammed out of tickets twice on SeatGeek. But the good thing with SeatGeek is they have a very, very fast response team. And if your ticket's a scam, they will get you new tickets immediately to get into that show. Either the same value or better, but if they're available. Because, for example, when I went and saw Harry Styles in Atlanta, not at the small show, but at, his arena show, my friend Angie and I spent $300 on pit tickets. I can't remember if I've told this story on here or not, but anyway, whatever. Our tickets were a scam, but we ended up buying tickets from the venue and kind of sneaking our way down into the pit, blah, blah, blah. I can't remember if I've told this story on this podcast or not. If not, you'll get that whole story one day. And if so, I'm sorry for repeating myself. But anyway, we ended up buying tickets from the venue because we were freaking out and they took us to the box office and we just didn't have time to like contact SeatGeek. But anyway, by the time that we got into the pit, SeatGeek had already not only refunded us, but they have like 120% refund policy. So we spent $300 on those pit tickets, right? And then $60 on the tickets that actually worked and actually got us into the venue. And then SeatGeek gave us 120% refund, which ended up being like $360. So we actually ended up getting paid almost to go see Harry Styles that day. So that worked out beautifully. So yeah, I still use SeatGeek even after that. And like another time that my tickets weren't legit on SeatGeek, I was heading into the venue and I still hadn't received my digital ticket yet. And I called them and by the time I got to the door, they had sent me a new ticket. So SeatGeek is really, really fast response and they're really good. There is a little bit more risk, but, you know, they'll make sure that you get into that concert somehow, some way. But yeah, so I do like SeatGeek. I've used StubHub a lot. That's what I use to get my Bonnaroo tickets. Like I said, that's what I use to get most of my tickets. Now the trick for these, people always ask me like, when should I buy my tickets off of StubHub? Generally the trend is they get cheaper the longer you wait. So, I mean, if you can, like if it's a completely general admission venue, even if it's not sold out, if it's completely general admission, when I saw Walk the Moon, I didn't get my tickets until 20 minutes before I walked in because they're going to be the cheapest right before doors open. So, I mean, if you can handle like the anxiety of waiting that long, so some shows I'm like, okay, I can wait that long. And it'd be fine. Like when it's a completely general admission, I'll wait until right before I walk in. Or if it's a show that I don't have a specific spot that I have to be in, I'll just get tickets right before I go in or the day of. So if you can do that, I would do that. That's going to be your cheapest option. But sometimes, you know, the concert doesn't call for being able to wait that long. Like when we went and saw Harry Styles, there were very few pit tickets online, so we couldn't really wait until the minute before. Or like when I saw Lorde, we knew we wanted front row tickets, and so there were front row tickets available online, and we bought them like a month before the show, a couple months before the show. So, you know, you just kind of got to feel it out. But if you can, your cheapest option is going to be to buy them as close to the concert as possible, if not a few minutes before, like I have done several times. Because when I saw Walk the Moon and got my tickets right before, they were $20 cheaper than face value, so, which was dope. But, yeah, so that's kind of the trick for the ticket resales. I also will patrol Twitter and kind of watch, and I'll search on Twitter. You know, let's say I want to go see Lainey in Atlanta. I'll Twitter search the words Lainey Atlanta selling. And then I'll just scroll through and see the tweets of people saying, you know, selling a ticket to Lainey in Atlanta, yada, yada, yada. And then I'll do it that way. That you have to be really careful with. It's best for small shows because your chance of being scammed by people for a small show is significantly lower. But yeah, anytime you're buying directly through a person, like on Twitter or on Reddit, you have to triple, double, quadruple, 18 times check everything that they're telling you. you have to make sure that it's a legit profile, first of all. See, my number one recommendation is to see if you can get any other, like, almost like references from that person. So if you're buying a ticket from someone, be like, hey, do you have someone else who can, like, vouch for you? Just because, you know, it's really easy to get scammed online. It's happened to me before, and I never got my money back for it. When I went to Lollapalooza last year, I bought tickets from a guy on Twitter who sent me all the trappings, everything that I thought I needed to be sure that this dude was legit. He literally sent me a picture of his driver's license, but with, like, you know, private information scratched out. He sent me pictures of the tickets, of him holding the tickets, etc. And then, sure enough, I sent him the money. I sent him the $300, and he blocked my number, and I never got my tickets. So the best way to prevent that from happening to you, never, ever, ever, ever buy tickets from someone through something else other than PayPal with goods and services. If someone wants you to, unless you know them personally, if someone wants you to Venmo, only accepts Venmo or Zelle, don't do it. Because I did Zelle when I bought my Lollapalooza tickets, and Zelle goes directly through my bank. So one would think, oh, it's through my bank, it's legit. No. You won't get your money back. That was over a year ago, and I still don't have my money back for my Lollapalooza ticket. I ran it up the flagpole in my bank, and I got a big fat sorry about it from them. Thanks, Chase. Don't use Zelle. Don't use Venmo. Don't use Cash App. The only money transferring service that has your back, that will protect you, is PayPal. And you have to make sure you do it on goods and services. Because if you do it through friends and family, then it's basically just like Venmo and stuff. But if you do it through goods and services, then PayPal knows that you are sending that person that money with the expectation of receiving something in return. And if you don't get that thing in return, you can file a claim with PayPal and they will give you your money back. And that person will get the money taken back from them. So PayPal goods and services is the only way that you should ever be sending people money for concert tickets. Okay? Rule number one. I cannot stress that enough. Just PayPal goods and services. All right, people? Yes. So let's say you have tickets to your event. This is going to kind of branch off. Let's say you're just doing a one concert thing. This is just tickets for one concert. So here's going to be my guide on how to, you know, go through just a concert. If you have seats, pretty cut and dry. Go to your seats, have a good time. If you have pit, general admission, this is where things get fun, okay? People ask me all the time, like, how do I get so close to artists when I'm going to these concerts and stuff? And my answer is, get used to waiting in line, because that's going to be your best bet. I've waited, I think the most I've waited was with my friends. You guys heard that podcast when we waited for Harry Styles. I think it was like 16 hours. That's, I think, the most I've waited for a show, and it was worth it because I had barricades. So, I mean, if you want a good spot, get there early. And if you're not sure how early to get there, go on Twitter. I'm telling you, Twitter's your best friend when figuring out concerts. Go on Twitter and search line, the artist you're, like, the words line and then the artist you're going to go see. So let's say I was going to see, I don't know, Shawn Mendes. I would search line Shawn Mendes. And then it would bring up tweets of either people saying, what time should we line up for Shawn Mendes? Or people saying, oh, I just got in line for Shawn Mendes. And you can kind of check and see what time they got there. And then you can see what spot they ended up with. Just gauge it on that. Planning and research is your best friend. But the earlier you can get to the venue, the better your spot's going to be. That is just a general rule of thumb. But for smaller bands, you know, it's not that big of a deal. I've shown up 2 hours before doors for a band before and ended up like second row. And then I've shown up 10 hours before doors and ended up like 10th row. So it just really depends on who you're seeing and how crazy the fan base is. That's going to be your biggest gauge on where you're ending up in that crowd. Also, if you're going to get into a pit, you just need to be prepared for not a pleasant experience. That makes it sound bad. I don't want to, like, obviously, I love being in the pit. That if I'm going to a concert, I'm going to be in the pit. But, you know, my wallet willing. But sometimes the pit is not the most relaxing and fun experience? So, I don't want to discourage anyone from getting in the pit. But, I mean, it can get crazy. Some artists' general admission pits aren't bad at all. I can't think of any right now, but they're not bad. You know, that's a good time. But sometimes the pits can be pretty. Yeah, the worst pit to ever be in people wise, is 21 Pilots. Now when I say that the pits are bad, this is what I mean. You need to prepare for, okay? No room to move. You've got people pressed up against you everywhere. If you're claustrophobic, don't get in the pit. If you're short, don't get in the pit and expect people taller than you to move so that you can see. Because, oh my God, this is a hill that I will die on. Nothing pisses me off more than when I am at a concert. All right, I'm 5'9", and I wear heeled booties all the time. So when I'm at a concert, I'm around like 5'11", 6 foot, let's say, that general area, all right? Oh my God, it never freaking fails that I get some 4'9" short person behind me tap me on the shoulder and be like, hey, can I get in front of you? No, you can't. You can't get in front of me. And I'll say no, and they're like, well, I can't help that I'm short. Well, I can't help that I'm tall. Cry me a river. Get here before me and get in line. If you're short, plan on getting there even earlier so that you can get closer and hopefully get in front of a tall person, all right? The world sucks. People are taller than you. Get over it. Don't ask me to move just because your genetics screwed you over and you're short, all right? Not my problem. This is obviously, this is a problem that happens all the time, and it is obviously something that gets me very worked up. I hate it. Don't ask me to move because you're short. It's not my problem. Blah. Or, it just, whatever. Anyway. So, be prepared to not be able to see sometimes. Sometimes you can't see. And that's the thing, is I'm tall, but like, it never fails. I always end up behind the one person in the pit who's taller than me. I guess it's because everyone's kind of gravitating to not be behind that person and me, so then I end up being behind that person, but it never fails. I end up being behind the dude who's like 6'4", and that I don't care about, but it's the fact that they never move. Like, if you're taller than me and you're getting it and you're having a good time, I'm lit. It's cool. I don't care. Because I'm definitely going to be dancing, or at least moving a little bit, and singing and having fun. But I always end up behind the tall dude who does not move. He's like a freaking statue the whole time. Nothing is more infuriating than that. But yeah. Anyway, this is a hill I will die on. So another type of person you will meet in the pit. Let's go over the archetypes of the pit, all right? You've got the tall guy or girl. You've got the short person asking said tall guy or girl to move. And then you've got the moms in the pit. Now, pit moms are like a different breed. Pit moms are like the final boss in the video game of general admission concerts. I don't know why they get into the pit. I mean, if you're taking your kid to a concert, cool. Let's say your 12-year-old daughter wants to go see 21 Pilots. If you want to take her, go ahead. That's your deal. Don't get in the freaking pit with her. Like, or if you want to get into the pit, you stay in the back and let your daughter go in. Because you're going to get separated from your daughter. It's going to happen. People are moving. People are shuffling. People are dancing. You're going to get separated. Okay? Oh my God. Hell hath no fury like a pit mom. Because if they get separated from their daughter, they will grab you and throw you and scream, "I'm getting to my daughter!" across the freaking pit. And I'm like, honey, that's not my problem. You're like 50. You shouldn't be in here. Get out of my face. Maybe that's a little ageist, but listen, I've had plenty of great experiences with moms and pits. Caroline's mom, when we saw Harry Styles, she was great. Another mom I met at Walk the Moon. I saw Walk the Moon 2 days in a row, two different cities. I met a mom the first time I saw them, and then she happened to be there the second day. She was so fun. She was there just as much as her daughter was. She wasn't there because her daughter was there. She was there for Walk the Moon. Her daughter also just so happened to be there for Walk the Moon. She was fun. She got separated from her daughter and it wasn't a big deal. I get the whole protective thing, but like, for the love of God, stop. And then the other archetype in the pit, you've got the couple that cannot stop making out. No matter what song is playing, it'll be 21 Pilots. And Tyler Joseph is up there, you know, saying about death. And these two people are, like, having just a hardcore make-out session in the middle of the pit. And you're like, how is this putting you guys in the mood? Like, I don't understand. And they take up so much room and no one wants to be around them because you can hear their making-out sounds over the music. Pit couples suck. Don't be those people. If you want to be a couple in a pit, if you want to make out in the pit, go to the back. There's plenty of room for that. All right, listen. Anyway, those are pretty much the four bosses you'll meet in the pit. Oh, no, the fifth one is the girl that keeps crying and making herself cry so that it looks like she's really into the music. When I saw... this is coming off really judgy. Anyway, when I saw 21 Pilots, this girl... Now, listen, like, 21 Pilots has some pretty, you know, deep lyrics. I get that. I love 21 Pilots, but this girl, I can tell when people are like crying. I've cried plenty of times in the pit for a concert. All right. Listen, I get it. I get crying. It happens. I'm a crier and music makes me emotional. So sometimes I'll cry. However, I can tell, but I'm not sobbing in the middle of this pit. I'll get a couple tears. Like when I saw Florence and the Machine, I look over and all my friends, we all had tears running down our face because she's just so beautiful and magic-y. Anyway, majestic, yep. Anyway, I can tell though when people are forcing themselves to sob at a concert. And the two that it happens the worst at are 21 Pilots and Harry Styles. This girl at 21 Pilots, okay, during the concert, Tyler Joseph gets up. There's like a bridge, a glass bridge that goes over the pit. And he has to like climb up some steps to get on the bridge, right? And so I'm like second row. And I'm right by the bridge. And so he's standing right there. And this girl is sobbing. And she's like, "It's okay, Tyler. We'll protect you. You can do it." And I'm like, girl, he's walking up some stairs. This is probably like the 100th time he's done this. And she's like, "Well, you can do it, Tyler." I just, oh my God, I can't. But anyway, and then at Harry Styles, you'll see girls on the barricade, like looking around to see if people are watching them and then make themselves sob. It's a good time. Anyway, so yeah, that's the fifth type of person you'll see in a pit, are the fake criers. But generally, the pit experience is not having room to move. Some concerts, you'll get a mosh pit or two, so you'll be getting shoved a lot. 21 Pilots, like I said, worst pit ever. I've been punched so many times at 21 Pilots. You have no room to breathe at 21 Pilots. That being said, I could never ever be in a seat at a 21 Pilots show. Never. That pit, while the worst, people-wise, it is the greatest experience ever of all time, because just the energy you get from the performer being in that pit is insane, because you're the first people they see and you're not in seats. So you're able to move, you're reacting off of the performer. They're getting their direct vibe of how they're doing off of that pit because you're right there. So that, if you really want to be in the thick of it, especially at a 21 Pilots concert, you need to be in that pit. But yeah, those are the things you got to be prepared for to be in a pit. Now, more often than not, it's not that bad. It's not, people aren't shoving, you know. I love the pit. This is my favorite part, to be in a concert. So that's kind of preparation for the pit. Moving on, let's say you got tickets to a multiple act festival, right? But it's just a 1 day festival. Okay, or a 2 day festival. But either way, you're not camping, right? Plan out, you know, what sets you're going to see. Don't go in and be like, I take that back. Sometimes people, the best experience you can have is just showing up and being like, we'll see who we see. It's fine. I'm not like that. I have to know where I'm going and who I'm seeing, and I have to be able to get the best spot to see said people. So, look at your, if you want to be like that, look at your set times, figure out what stage people are going to be on. You know, sometimes single day festivals have multiple stages. Sometimes they just have one stage. If they just have one stage, your day is easy. You just get in the pit and you stand there all day. If not, look at the set times, look at what stages, kind of just generally plan out in your head where you need to be going at what time. Sometimes you'll have to leave a set a bit early so that you can go and get in line for another set, to get a good spot. You know, that's just how it be sometimes. My best advice, open up your notes app on your phone, type in the artists you're going to see and their set times, and if you need to, what stages they're going to be on, screenshot it and set it as your lock screen. That way you don't have to keep unlocking your phone all day to go look at the schedule, blah, blah, blah. It'll kill your phone really fast. It's just right there on your lock screen. Easy to look at. Also, in that same note, you should do, my biggest tip for going to any concert or music festival, screenshot your notes app and write out a message that says, if lost, please return to, you know, like my name, Raina Parks, and call this number if you find me. And then put like your friend's number in. Screenshot that and put it on your lock screen in case you drop your phone or lose it. Then whoever picks it up knows exactly who to call to give it back. I've dropped my phone more times than I can count in a pit. I always pick it up though, but I'm always able to find it. But sometimes, you know, you're not that lucky. So just keep that on your lock screen just in case. And then that's going to be the best way for you to be able to get your stuff back. Also, speaking of standing all day, get good shoes. Get good shoes. Now, I am the type of person who prioritizes style over comfort, which is probably why I have such a bad back. But like I said, I have a bad back, and my back and feet always hurt after pretty much every concert. But get good shoes. If you don't care about whether your shoes match your fit, like I put way too much effort into my concert outfits and my shoes have to go with it. If you don't care about that, get some good tennis shoes and rock those suckers. And those will be your best friend for standing all day, walking all day. If you do care about what shoes you're wearing though, like I typically wear combat boots with every outfit I own ever, get some good insoles. Those will be your best friend. Some good, not like the cheap $5, really thin ones. Invest in some good insoles for your shoes, because whether you're going to just a one-day music festival, a two-day music festival, a single concert, multi-day camping festival, you're going to be on your feet a lot, and you want to protect your feet. So get some good insoles, all right? I cannot stress that enough. Especially if you're like me and you're tall and you did sports your whole life, so your knees and your back and your feet are trashed. Get some good insoles. But yeah, so I am going to cut this off because, you know, I realize I have a lot more to cover here. I haven't even gotten into multi-day festivals. But I'm just going to cut it off here, and I'll be posting a part two next week. And that part two will be covering multi-day festivals, camping festivals, what to bring, what to wear, yada, yada, yada. You know, the ins and outs of going to big summer festivals like Bonnaroo, Lollapalooza, Firefly, etc. So yeah, I hope you guys enjoyed this, and I hope this will help you all go out and join that concert scene. I think everyone should be going to concerts. You know, there's, not to be cheesy, but there's no better feeling than, you know, just being there completely surrounded and overwhelmed by music from like your favorite artists and stuff. Hence why I go to them so freaking often. But yeah, so stay tuned for next week. If you guys enjoyed this podcast, please, please give me 5 stars. Please subscribe, follow. I would love if you guys could share this with your friends. Follow me on Instagram. I'm at @beatupsneakers. Share this podcast on your story. Yeah, I just thank you guys for listening. And this has been Chaotic Neutral Podcast, and I will see you next week. Ciao!